as we stand a moment's prayer. Gracious God, we pray that our minds and hearts would be engaged by the beauty of our Lord, and that strange beauty expressed above all where he makes that journey to the cross for us, that indeed that he is lifted up, that all may be drawn to him. We pray that we'll hear his voice and receive his word this very day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. The day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? Well, the 22-year-old American poet Amanda Gorman began her stirring recitation at the inauguration of President Joe Biden last week with these words. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? Where can we find light? It's a great question, not just for the United States at that particular juncture in its history, but for all of us. As we face life, not just the global pandemic and the raft of challenges that it brings, where can we find light? As Christians, we must in all humility point to Jesus Christ, the one who declares, I am the light of the world, and our search for light will arrive at its truest and best destination when it comes to Jesus. Jesus' words are not only a claim, I am the light of the world, but they're also a calling and a promise, as he goes on to say, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's an interesting dynamic sense to this, not stationary like a lamppost, but the light seems to be a moving light. You have to follow him, it appears, if you want to stay in it. Well, before we see what it means for us to have this light of life, a little bit of context. Always should be context, no meaning without context. Our gospel reading began in John 8, verse 12, with the words, when Jesus spoke again to the people. Whenever you hear again, it's logical to ask where this comes from. When did he previously speak to the people? And there we need to go back to chapter 7, verse 37, where we hear, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. The whole context of chapters 7 and 8 in John's Gospel is the great festival, the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. People are having a party. They're celebrating God rescuing and saving his people. And back in chapter 7, Jesus teaches about the water of life at the point in the celebration where the focus is on the water. Contemporary sources tell us also at this feast, there would be great oil lamps in the temple, olive oil, of course, but with great wicks possibly made out of the old robes of the priests. And they would shine a light so great that they lit up, well, not just the temple, but the whole of Jerusalem. So Jesus is standing somewhere around these great lamps, either perhaps when they've just been turned off at the end of the feast, or they're still there, blazing their light. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So a claim and a calling. And I guess for us, as we consider this light in which we walk, I can think really of four lights, if I can put it that way, that Jesus could have in mind or in a biblical sense would apply. The first two will be the longest. There's the light of life as against the darkness of death. There's the light of truth as against the darkness of lies. There's the light of integrity as against the darkness of sin. And there's the light of hope as against the darkness of despair. So there's four First of all, the light of life, as opposed to walking in the darkness of death. The people of Israel are celebrating the light of God's life, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so who then shall I fear? And Jesus is saying, if you're looking for salvation, and of course at this great festival, the Feast of Tabernacles here, salvation is exactly what people are celebrating. You know, God's salvation in the past and longing for the present and the future. And Jesus says, if you're looking for salvation, look no further. I'm here. The light of the world, the light of life, the light of salvation, follow me. And you don't have to walk anymore in darkness. If Jesus is the light of life, well, then the darkness here must be the darkness of death. Goes back all the way to the very beginning. God warned us that human disobedience, deserting the light of God to go our own way, would bring death. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die, God warns our forebears in the Garden of Eden. Not just physical death here. Tragically, we're also aware of our frailty, our mortality. As the tragic statistics mount, we see is that over 2 million people worldwide death attributed to this virus. But there's more of a death than just physical death. There's a sense of death in our own culture. Emptiness, loneliness, hollowness, even in the midst of the relative prosperity we enjoy in the West. People seeking a lifestyle rather than a life. And yet a desire for some kind of superficial lifestyle seems emptier than ever and offers its own commentary on our mortality. Perhaps worst of all, death of the knowledge of God or even the basis for life and morality. Our culture sounds close to what we find described in Isaiah 59. So justice is far from us and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. And of course, even beyond this darkness, there is the reality of an eternal darkness. That if we ignore the light of life, we are left only with the utter darkness of death. As Jesus puts it in our reading today, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, or I am, as it puts it, you will indeed die in your sins. Well, to die in our sins is to die twice. If we turn away from God, there is the death of complete separation from God, who is above, to be faced and feared. But to those who walk with Jesus, we have the light of triumph over death for eternity. As the great Easter hymn puts it, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. So the light of life over against the darkness of death. Secondly, the light of truth over against the darkness of lies. Again, if we go back to the very beginning of humanity, we've believed the lie. And we go on believing lies ever since. And we live in a world, well, no one needs reminding about lies, about alternative facts and fake news that have entered our language. I watched a fascinating documentary last week on BBC iPlayer about the history of fake news. It goes a long way back. Whenever humanity's created something, it gets in there. The long history of deliberate deception by the early newspapers and governments. And of course, the curse of fake news is not just we believe the lies, but we now doubt the truth when we see it. Because the whole currency of truth has been debased. There came a, a tragic example in that program in the Second World War, as news came out of the Holocaust and the death camps. Some of the Allies were reluctant to believe it was true because of earlier fake news. In the First World War, the wonderfully named British Ministry of Information, what a name, had produced false reports about atrocities that the Germans were committing in the First World War. So people were slow to believe the truth when it came out. We go back to the passage from Isaiah I quoted a moment ago. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. That has such a depressingly up-to-date feel. I was heartened when I listened to the inauguration speech of President Biden. Just after referencing St. Augustine, he goes on to list the things that hold the American Union together. And after listing many noble virtues, dignity, liberty, respect, honor, he goes on to say, and yes, the truth. Recent weeks and months have taught us a painful lesson. There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit. And each of us has a duty and responsibility as citizens, as Americans, and especially as leaders, leaders who have pledged to honor our Constitution and protect our nation, to defend the truth and to defeat the lies. Well, that's a noble aspiration. There is indeed truth, and there are indeed lies. Western culture, we become so accustomed to swallowing the lie. Certainly the lie of consumerism. If Jesus had somehow said that a person's life does consist in the abundance of our possessions. There was a friend of mine preparing for a seminar that was looking at depictions in the media and advertising, and he listed from a series of adverts what was offered him, and he was promised enlightenment, joy, hope, refreshment, a new beginning, all because of a cup of tea. Oh, well, I'm probably a mobile phone, a holiday as well. Perhaps we believe the lies because deep down we prefer to. They offer us an easier road than following Jesus, where the light of truth is to be found. He offers it to all who come to him. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light of God's revelation, the light of God's truth. He doesn't say, I'll give you some light. He says, no, I am the light. Not even the light of his teaching, but the light of who he is, God incarnate, who comes as a human being to die for us, as is referenced later in the passage, talking about being lifted up in John's gospel is always about the cross. No, to die for us and to be raised publicly, witnessed as universal truth. Wasn't popular in his day. By the end of chapter 8, there's a lynch mob ready to kill Jesus. And chapter 8 is full of assertion and counterclaim between Jesus and his particular accusers. Verses 13 and 14. You are claiming to be your own witness, they say. Your testimony can't be true, and you're claiming too much. Where's your evidence? And we get a rather enigmatic answer from Jesus in verse 14. Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Kind of an odd way of putting it. I guess it seems almost Jesus saying, light is self-authenticating. Light shows itself by shining. Light is its own evidence. If it's there, you know it. You do not switch on a torch to look for sunlight. There's the light of life as against the darkness of death. There's the light of truth against the darkness of lies. There's the light of integrity as against the darkness of sin. When the Israelites talk about walking in the light, as we read in our Old Testament reading, there's an ethical connotation. It's about being open and transparent before God, because God is light, and we reflect his character. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you, says Psalms 89, and goes on to say, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. The alternative is to be walking in the darkness of unrepentant sin or dishonest dealings with others. Back in John 3, John warns that people prefer the darkness because their deeds are evil. Our calling today is to walk in the light. The only way to walk with Jesus. If there are things you know that you need to put right in your life before God, now is the time to do it. In history, the great East Africa revival used the phrase walking in the light to talk about swift repentance and confession of sin. Put it right and walk on with God in the light. That's the response to that call of Jesus to walk in the light. Fourthly, the light of hope against the darkness of despair. My mind goes back to the great verses we hear at Christmas about from Isaiah, Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. And of course, the gospel writers see this fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. And this light goes on to shine out to the whole world, as we heard in our reading from Isaiah 60 earlier on. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And goes on to say, for the Lord will be your everlasting light and your God will be your glory. Not just a light for Israel, but through Israel to the world. Jesus, in a sense, embodying as the Messiah, God's people, the light for the world. And of course, these are the very verses probably the people at the temple celebrating would be singing. And at this point, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, hope for the world. Not wishful thinking, but based in the truth of his coming, the truth of his very self, and his death and resurrection. Jesus, light of the world, the light of life, the light of truth, the light of integrity, the light of hope. Well, I began with the opening words of that poet, Amanda Gorman, at the inauguration. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? She ended her speech, her poem, with these words. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Inspiring words for those of us who know Jesus, the light of the world, and hear his call to walk with him and know the light of life. Let me pray for us for a moment. Gracious God, we thank you for the triumph of light over darkness, where so many places in our world that seem to need the light of Christ. We pray that would begin in our own hearts, that as we seek his light to change us and to enable us to walk in his way. We pray you keep us faithful, give us a joyful and swift obedience and repentance. And we ask it in Jesus' name. At this point in the service, we're going to declare our faith. We'll use the words of the creed that should appear, and I invite you to stand. And together we declare. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,